Going to do something a little different this morning, with your kind permission. I've been lecturing consecutively from the second canto of the Bhagavatam, and I wanted to continue with that, and so that's where the verse is on the board instead of the fourth canto. But like Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the topics of Krishna are like a sugar tree. And from any part of the tree, you can take some fruit and it's sweet. So, I hope you'll be happy with some sweet fruit from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Translation: Shukadev Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, after being seen in his transcendental form, instructing Brahmaji, the leader of all living entities, disappeared. So this is ninth chapter of the second canto. And text number 38, the Chatur Shloka, this is the scene, what's happening here. The Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam have just been spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Reference of that is made in the purport. The Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam are the four essential verses in which the whole message of the Bhagavatam is very tightly compressed. It's the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. Or say it in reverse, from those four verses, the whole of the Bhagavatam was composed. Very important verses, right? When Vyas, it said in the first canto, Vyas instructed the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadev Goswami. That's the essence. Instructed these four verses. And then Shukadev Goswami left, having heard the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in, I think it's Brahma Vaibharta Purana, there's some description how it happened that Shukadev Goswami then heard the entire Srimad Bhagavatam in detail from Vyas. But Vyas had written this essence of four verses, and then Narada instructed him to expand. Yes? Because the whole of the Vedas had been completed, which includes the Bhagavatam, but just in the essence verses, those four verses, so Narada instructed him to write an entire literature, so that's the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses, the essence of which is in the four verses. Just prior to that, the scene before the four Chaturshloki verses were spoken, the scene was the universe had not been recreated. It was at the end of Brahma's day. And what happens at the end of Brahma's day? Goes to sleep. It's night. And there's a partial devastation. According to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that partial devastation goes up to Maharloka. No, up to Swargaloka. Because the residents in Maharloka, it gets so hot from the fire of the partial devastation, that they get in their vimanas and go to the Janaloka and Tapaloka planets. It's too much, too hot. But the lower planets are just burned to ashes. That's at the night of Brahma, and then in the morning he has to get up and recreate. First he does a sadhana. He doesn't drink tea. And then he recreates the universe. I say like that because this is India. Prabhupada said the practice in India is not even cleanliness. They are so eager to drink their tea, they drink bed tea. And all the germs and all the yucky stuff, it goes right into their system and drink the tea right in bed. Oh, that's not Brahmaji. He performed his morning sadhana. And his morning sadhana was reciprocated with by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared before Lord Brahma in his the whole spiritual world. It describes the spiritual world when there was just darkness and a lotus flower. Nobody even to talk to. Like, hey, what's going on? What happened? Who turned the lights out? Turn on the generator, will you? There was nothing. Just darkness and Brahma and the lotus flower. So he performed his tapa and the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before him. Brahma offered prayers. The Supreme Lord offered benediction. Please take some benediction. Brahma asked four questions and a benediction. The four questions are identified in the prior verses to the Chatur Sloki. The Chatur Sloki verses are the four answers. So the essence of the Bhagavatam has now been spoken. And then the Supreme Lord, having finished the Chatur Sloki verses, said, if you fix your mind in full concentration upon me, as I have described, and as he described means in all circumstances, this applies to us, in all circumstances, in every time, in every place, in all manners of activity, if you concentrate your mind in a searching mode, like jigyasu, an inquisitive mode, searching for the connection with all things, with the Supreme. If you do like that, you will be protected. The benediction that Brahma requested was that he wanted protection from the false egoistic pride of thinking, I did it. I created the universe. Ta-da! Look at me. And similarly, our false egoistic pride that says we can't create universes, but we can do something. Sing a song, or walk across the floor, or write a software program, or manage a temple, or run a business, or whatever it is that we do. We all do something. Go to school and get grades and exams. We all do something. Ta-da, I did it. And that snare of false ego has a tight grip. It's the most subtle. False ego is, there's eight material elements, yes? Five gross, three subtle. The most subtle of the subtle is false ego. It's the first element to appear in the process of creation. It's the last element for us to let go of. In fact, it makes the connection with all the other ones. False ego. We definitely should pay attention to false ego. Although it's very subtle, it's got a tight grip on our existence, Lord Vishnu said, by following this instruction, you'll be released from false ego. No more pride. What a relief. No more pride. No more false ego. No more sense of kartaham iti manyate, false doership. No more. Just service to Krishna and Hari Bol. Very nice. So having explained that, now comes this verse. Shukadeva Goswami is narrating, the conversation is over, the dialogue between Brahma and Lord Vishnu, and Sampradishya is having fully explained, just like Sampradaya, Sampradishya, in this full explanation manner, Ajano Jananam. So now I'm going to read the purport. In this verse, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is Ajanaha. This word, Ajano. The Lord is Ajana, or the Supreme Person, and that He was showing His transcendental form, Atmano Rupam, down here. Atmano Rupam. He was showing His form. He's a person showing His form. To Brahmaji, while instructing him, Sampradishyaiva, he was instructing him in the summarization of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses. You note takers might want to take note. The Shatrasloki verses start with text 33, 2933. This little boy is very active. No, this other one. You have to be quiet or go to the back. One or the other, take your choice. You can be active back there. You're going to sit here? You be nice. He is, so Prabhupada's saying it again, Ajana, or the Supreme Person amongst Jananam, all persons. Where is this going? Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, so Prabhupada quotes. All living entities are individual persons, and amongst all such persons, Lord Hari is the Supreme, as confirmed in the Shruti Mantra, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. So, he's a lawyer making his argument, and now here's the conclusion. There is no place for impersonal features in the transcendental world, as there are impersonal features in the material world. We'll come back to that. The second of Prabhupada's pranam mantras is that nirvishesha shunyavadi pastyacha deshatarine, in this world, specifically, it's been translated in the Western world, there is, but it's not only in the Western world, there is impersonalism and voidism. Materialism is impersonalism and voidism. We'll come back. Whenever there is chaitana or knowledge, the personal feature comes in. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Chaitana, so Nitya means eternal, and Nitya is singular, Nityanam is plural. Nityo Nityanam. Amongst all eternals, there's one supreme eternal. Chaitanas Chaitananam. Chaitana is singular. Chaitananam is plural. Amongst all conscious beings, there's one supremely conscious being. Shruti mantra. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna indicates, Chetragya chapi mam vidhi sarva chetreshu bharata. That is, Chetragya is very similar to Chaitana. Chetragya means the knower of the field of activities. Arjuna asks in the beginning of the chapter, what is Chetra and what is Chetragya? What's the field of activities and what is the knower of the field of activities? Gya means know. So, there's two knowers in this body. Well, there's actually many knowers. There's many souls within each body. Did you know that? Because there's many microbes and all kinds of living entities hosting on this body, whether we like it or not. Some are good, some are bad, some are friendly, some are unfriendly, but they're all hosting on this body. But two principle, one soul is conscious of the field of activity of this whole body. And the other conscious being is conscious of all bodies everywhere. All bodies everywhere. Chaitana, Chaitananam. So Prabhupada's point is wherever there is Chaitana, there's person. You have conscious awareness, you have person. Well, let's think about what impersonalism means. You don't have conscious awareness. What's that? How can you be conscious of, I can have a realization about impersonalism that there's no conscious awareness? It's pretty contradictory, yes? Because their argument is you can't have that, because as soon as you have conscious awareness, then you have the conscious aware entity and the object that the conscious aware entity is aware of, and then you have two things. You can't have two things, there's only one thing. You can't have conscious awareness. What do you have? You have Brahman. Well, isn't Brahman conscious? It just is. It's just Brahman. It's supreme. There's nothing else to be conscious of. All there is Brahman. There's only one thing. That's a stretch, huh? Put your mind around that one. See what happens. It's extreme mental speculation. It's not what the Vedas are telling us. Chaitanas Chaitananam Nityo Nityanam Eko Bahunam Yo Vididhati Kama. There's one supreme that's maintaining all other, one Eka that's maintaining all the Nityanams and Chaitananams. Important verse. Yes, there's Brahman. And Brahman is also conscious. We're going to read further in the purport, in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. Here we go. In the spiritual world, everything is full of knowledge. And therefore, everything in the transcendental world. Here's an inventory list. The land, the water, the tree, the mountain, the river, the man, the animal, the bird. Everything is of the same quality. Namely, Chaitana. And therefore, everything there is individual and personal. Impersonalists don't like this idea at all. Because all there is one. And the term Advaita appears in the Upanishadic texts, and there are Advaitavadis. So how does the Bhagavatam reconcile this Advaita terminology with the fact that everything in the spiritual world is conscious? Because conscious means there's the conscious knower and the object that you're conscious of. The answer is given in the Bhagavatam, that within the Vedanta Tat Tattva Vedas Tattvam Yajjnanam Advayam, in that Advayam realm, there's plurality. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. So Krishna is conscious of Krishna's energy. And Krishna's energy is conscious of Krishna's energy and Krishna. And they're all of the same Advayam substance, which is distinct from this material world, as Prabhupada has already said. It's distinct from this material world where the object and the perceiver of the object are not of the same substance. Meaning the soul and the table here, one is conscious, the other is not conscious. And this table is not my energy. But when we forget Krishna, just like that, turn that one switch off, and then all of a sudden this appears to be real, the table appears to be real, and I'm the enjoyer of the table. Or it's bringing me suffering because there's something about it I don't like. Happiness and distress is perceived because of just that one switch, I forgot Krishna. Then this deluding potency, bewildering potency, yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam sammohita. His energy acts to bewilder in varieties of ways, trigunatmakam, not just one way. And not just even three ways, but the three ways mix and makes 981, and then multiples, and you have unlimited varieties of bewilderments according to the modes of nature. Just from this one thing, just forget Krishna switch. And turn on that one switch and the whole thing becomes different. There is this state of oneness where all things that we perceive have their relationship with Krishna. And so in establishing our relationship with Krishna, again, re-establishing, we need to see things in relation to Krishna. So therefore there's sambandh again, where we understand the relationship between things with Krishna. And this is Advaya Gyan. The table doesn't exist apart from Krishna. So it's not for my enjoyment. It's for Krishna's service. Etc. One's job, one's intelligence, one's family, one's wealth, whatever it is, you name it. It's for Krishna's service. That's sambandha. We have a relationship with Krishna. And then we can act in that relationship, and then we can experience the culmination of realization of that relationship in love. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this information as the supreme Vedic literature, and it was personally instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Brahmaji so that the leader of all living entities, that leader of all living entities, is Parameshtanam, that refers to Brahma, He's the leader of the living entities. Krishna instructed Brahma so that Brahma, who is the leader of all living entities, is going to have to recreate them and give them a place to hang out, give them a planet or two to spend time and the ingredients to make homes with and, you know, do their material thing. He's their father. He's the leader of all those living entities. So Lord Vishnu is instructing Brahma so that he can instruct those who he recreates. Brahmaji in turn... It was personally instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Brahmaji so that the leader of all living entities might broadcast the message to all the universe in order to teach the supreme knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. Brahmaji, in his turn, instructed Narada, his beloved son, the same message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Narada, in turn, taught the same to Vyasadeva, who again taught it to Shukadeva Goswami. Through Shukadeva Goswami's grace and by the mercy of Maharaj Parikshit, we are all given Srimad Bhagavatam perpetually to learn the science of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. And the Lord just disappeared. But where did he disappear to? Or the other way around, where did he come from? Because it was just darkness. And all of a sudden, voila, there he was. And then all of a sudden, he was gone. And the answer is, he's everywhere. Just like Prahlad was asked by his father, where is this Lord Vishnu? Prahlad said, he's everywhere, my dear demoniac father. Oh, he's everywhere. Is he in this pillar? He's everywhere. He's in the pillar. He's outside the pillar. He's in front of you, he's behind you, he's in within you. He's everywhere. So he can make himself visible, and he can make himself not visible. That's at his discretion, by his own yogamaya potency. Prabhupada has described like this. God is not obliged. Everyone who stamps their little foot and says, I want to see God, and if I can't see God, I don't believe he exists. He has no obligation to show himself to such people. Yogamaya samavrata. Naham prakasha sarvasya. Yogamaya samavrata. Mudhoyam nabhijanati. With that same yogamaya potency that he conceals himself, he can reveal himself. It's his potency, and it works according to his will and his discretion. He can make himself manifest or make himself not present. And we heard some descriptions last night from Jiva Goswami about everything in the spiritual world is conscious, chaitana. We heard about the milk in Mother Jasoda's pot that was boiling over, thinking, what is the use? Better to commit suicide. I just want to serve Krishna, but I'll never get a chance to serve Krishna because Krishna wants to take Mother Jasoda's breast milk, and his capacity to drink is unlimited, and Mother Jasoda's loving capacity is unlimited, and I'll never have any service, so I'll just jump in the fire. So he jumped up from the, was ready to jump from the milk pot into the fire. And then when he saw, this is Jiva Goswami, then when he saw the milk, saw that Mother Jasoda, who has achieved the stage of perfection of life, there she was sitting with Krishna on her lap, seeing his beautiful face, the personality of Godhead, just gazing into his beautiful face, and seeing his beautiful face, she smiled. And as she smiled, Krishna smiled. And as he smiled, her smile broadened. And as her smile broadened, Krishna smiled more. And this transcendental competition of exchanging of ecstasy was without limit. And yet she's giving her breast milk to that person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with such intimate, loving exchange. Now she's in anxiety. She's running over to the stove. I'll just get back into the pot and be nice. In a nice service mood for Mother Yashoda. Conscious. Everything is conscious. We don't have that experience. It's not the spiritual world. There's dull matter that just is a reflection of the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. Prabhupada said, everything is conscious and consciousness. There's not bodies that cover souls. Their bodies are spiritual. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And as Krishna is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, all living entities in the spiritual world are Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Now, from a untrained, non-Vaishnava scholar, that's not going to be their conclusion. Just this morning, I was listening to Prabhupada describing how the impersonalists think, and it's really offensive. Because their notion is, there's only one thing, that's Brahman. So the things of this world, all it is Brahman covered, including Krishna. Krishna is not Purnam, because he's now Purnam that's covered, or Brahman that's covered. What's Brahman that's covered anyways? And what's Purnam that's covered anyways? And how does it happen? How does it that Brahman becomes covered? If Brahman is all there is, how does Brahman become covered by something that isn't? They don't have an answer to that. Their answer is circular. Their answer is, I remember last time visiting Hyderabad and explaining the circular reasoning of the impersonalists. The reasoning is, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Maya, it just appears to be. Let's do that again. All there is Brahman. And we're Brahman, but covered by Maya. So how did Brahman, which is the only thing that exists, become covered by Maya? And the answer is, there isn't any Maya, it doesn't exist. Can you do that again? It's just like a shell game. Very fundamental. Because their whole doctrine is vivartavad. The vada, the doctrine of being covered. But being covered by what? There's only one thing. And how did it happen that Brahman became covered? And poor God, he's covered. That means the covering is greater than God. Although there's only one thing. And the answer is, it's not real. Jagat Mithya. Not very satisfying. Not satisfying to the intellect, not satisfying to the heart, and not consistent with the scripture. Brahmaji is our authority, and he's seeing Atmano Rupam, the form of the Supreme. And the Supreme is Ajano Jananam. He's the superlative amongst the Supreme Being amongst all living beings. It's personal. And he's conscious with form. And he disappears. And he can do that, no problem, because he has unlimited potency. He can appear and disappear just effortlessly. We can't. Just to come here, there was some effort. And to leave, there's some effort. But Krishna doesn't make any effort. He can come and go, because he's always here anyway. He is the Supreme. And because, so how does our heart receive that transcendental realization? It requires purity. It requires, as Brahma did, he heard the instruction, undergo this tapa. The tapa was his chanting of his, we find in Brahma Samhita what that tapa was. It was chanting of his mantra. He received Gayatri mantra and he chanted his mantra. That was his tapa. He didn't sit with fire all around because there wasn't fire. He didn't immerse himself in water up to the neck. There was no water. There was nothing. His tapa was sound vibration, hearing. That's our tapa. Hearing this transcendental message and becoming absorbed in its meaning, purifying the heart by that process. Okay, the clock says it's 9:00. We'll see if there's any questions or discussion.
The last point, what you Brahma's tapa was simply hearing. Can you just a little bit expand on that?
Last point was which one?
Brahma's tapa was simply hearing.
His tapa was, our tapa is hearing. His tapa was chanting of his mantra. And of course, with chanting of mantra, there's at least Gayatri mantra, there's internal hearing, there's full attention. And it's the same point as in the previous verse, this is 38, 37, O Brahma, this is the last of what the Supreme Lord spoke to Brahma, just follow this conclusion. Follow this conclusion is search for the Supreme everywhere, always. In all circumstances, at all times, in all places. Follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind, and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation. The partial devastation is what he's experiencing, and the final devastation is the final devastation. So in all circumstances of life, creation, maintenance, destruction, in all circumstances of life, you'll be protected. Perform your prescribed duty and always think of me. So his method of thinking of him was his chanting of his mantra. Anything? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, how can we understand that on the same incident, Jiva...
Speak up a little bit. How can we understand?
On same incident, on the milk is boiling, so Jiva Swami explained in a different way, and Vishnu Chakravarti also explained in a different way.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur doesn't have a different view. On that particular... Yeah, so... Yeah, the flower is falling. I'll try to keep it simple. The There is scope for diversity in the spiritual world, is a simple answer. And to say, as Jiva Goswami said, does not eliminate the possibility of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, and vice versa. It's not that by saying one thing, comprehensively you've said all things that can be said about a particular subject. One could try every time you speak something, say comprehensively everything about that subject. That would be very demanding and not so reasonable. So they could have said, many flowers had different spirit. Some this, some that, some another, and more than that also. So now that's comprehensive. Now the next thing. So they were, one can take it that way. But there are other examples where Prabhupada explicitly gives different perspectives from different acharyas and then explains this point. There's scope for diversity in the spiritual world. It doesn't mean one of them has to be right and the others have to be wrong. But rather there's scope for diversity in the spiritual world. In that diversity, here's the difference. There's no clash or discord or disharmony. I'm trying to think of some examples, but nothing is coming to mind at the moment where there are differences that are not disharmonious. One should not think that these statements by acharyas are the fruit of mental speculation. Rather, there's quite a bit of difference between that and the transcendental Krishna disclosing. Their intimacy with Krishna is such that Krishna discloses things. As much as on a bodily level, when we've eaten to our full satisfaction, we know that we're full. We don't have to have somebody tell us, now you are full. We know that we're full. And we have that realization. No more thank yous. No. So, similarly, not identically, but similarly, devotees have such personalities that they have intimate realizations of the personality. They have disclosures from the personality of God to them. And that's what they describe. One of them, I'll give one example, not of a contradictory, well, it's a little bit contradictory. In one of his literatures, Rupa Goswami had given a description. It was a drama. He had given a description of Srimati Radharani walking. And he was describing her walking. In the course of the description, it described the long braid in her hair behind her neck was going down her back like a snake. This movement was moving in a curved manner like a snake. And Sanatana Goswami, reading that, felt, this isn't nice. How can you describe Srimati Radharani as having a snake on her back? Her hair looks like a snake. This is not nice. So he was feeling that. And he put the manuscript down, went to Radhakund, where he was residing, to take his midday bath, and he saw some girls playing. And as he saw them playing by the water, one had what appeared to him as a snake crawling up her back. And so he called out very loudly, "Stop, stop, watch out, there's a snake crawling up your back." And I forget, there's some other detail happened. Someone went to rescue the girl from the snake, and it wasn't a snake, it was her hair. And his realization was that Krishna was, this was actually Radha, and Krishna was showing him that what Rupa Goswami had written was just right. So, our acharyas don't write speculations. Our acharyas write that which has... There's another example like this. With Jayadeva Goswami and his writing of Gita Govinda and his desire, as he was describing a certain lila in Gita Govinda between Radha and Krishna. And he's on the platform of pure devotional service. Mahaprabhu read Gita Govinda, which is for Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, is not for us. But there's a description where Radha is experiencing man lila. She's angry towards Krishna. So Krishna tries to pacify the anger of Radha, and nothing is successful. So he's being inspired from his heart to write these. And so he got to a certain passage where his inspiration, there were three words, I forget the Sanskrit, but where the Supreme Lord places his head upon Radha's feet to pacify her. And he put his writing instrument down and said, "This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although their lila is so intimate, it's not, this isn't right." He put his writing instrument down and went to take his midday bath, and all of a sudden, Jayadeva Goswami appeared at the door and went right back to his desk. It was Krishna. Went back to his desk, completed the sentence in those three words, and then asked his wife for lunch. So she fed him lunch. And then he got up and left. And then Jayadeva Goswami came back after taking his bath and saw his wife eating. And thought, "What happened? You never eat before me, and you were just preparing an offering to the deity while I went to take my bath, and now you're eating." And she said, "Well, no, I fed you." He said, "Can you say that again? You fed me." She said, "Yes, yes, you came back. So I was surprised you came back so quickly after you left to take your bath, and you sat down and you sat at your desk and you began writing." So he went to the desk and saw the words were completed that he had intended to write. And then he could understand. Krishna came in a form just like Jayadeva, and he fell at his wife's feet and said, "You're the most fortunate person in the whole universe. The personality of Godhead has come here to your home. You've had his darshan. You fed him personally with your own hand. You're the most fortunate person in the universe." So the writings are not speculation. And there's room for diversity in the spiritual world. As Krishna inspires, when the platform of purity is reached, then we can make such statements. We have to be careful that we're addressing persons that have attained the platform of purity. But when that platform of purity is there, there's diversity in the spiritual world. And they don't They don't contradict. Second point altogether is that in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami describes that the pastimes of Krishna are reenacted again and again. He specifically says that the pastime of Krishna being taken by Akura to Mathura repeats itself again and again. Krishna goes to Mathura, and the residents of Vrindavan experience incredible separation from him. And then Krishna returns. And it's like they forgot that Krishna had gone away because they're now with Krishna. And then again, Akura comes and takes Krishna away. And it's a rerun. But because of the influence of Krishna's Yogamaya potency, they don't remember. It's like the cowherd boys that were put in the caves by Brahma. When they came out, they didn't think, wow, we've been out of it for a whole year. They were having lunch and Krishna came back, and their response to Krishna was, oh, you're so attached to us, you can't stand to be away from us for a moment. Sit down and have your lunch. By Yogamaya potency, because the purpose of Yogamaya potency is the enhancement of Krishna's pastimes. So by Yogamaya potency, possibly, the Damodar Leela is enacted again and again, and sometimes it's this and sometimes it's that. And by the inconceivable potencies, these apparent discrepancies are not discrepancies. They're different expressions of the realization of perfected souls. And the perfected soul need not disclose to us everything, nor necessarily has he been disclosed everything, because what's everything is unknowable by a tiny living being. I'm glad we don't have to translate this into Telugu. That'd be too challenging. Okay? The question is how to overcome tendencies for sentimentality and impersonalism. That's the question. These how-to questions. The answer is by Krishna consciousness. By Krishna consciousness, impersonalism is gone, sentimentalism is gone, and reality is in place. If we hear... Our main medicine of our material disease is the process of hearing. We do other things. Hearing and chanting, we worship and we pray and we perform the 9 processes of devotional service. But principle of them is the hearing and chanting process, Shravanam Kirtanam. And from that, our purification comes and the sentimentality and impersonalism is dealt with. We're given spiritual strength. We're given spiritual knowledge. We're given spiritual capacity. We're given purification by that process. We faithfully adhere to the process and the how-to is addressed. Anything else? Yes. Microphone.
This question is regarding yesterday, what we had talked about. How do you attain success in devotional service, Prabhupada?
How do you do which?
How do you attain success in devotional service? The criteria for success in devotional service. And you had said that there are 2 criteria, that's effort and mercy of the Lord.
Okay.
So, Prabhupada, we all are doing effort. But the mercy, I want to know, when does the Lord decide to show His mercy, like shower His mercy?
That's up to Him. When does He decide is up to Him. But from our side, we should always be... This is a very important, very, 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 very important part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching. To pray to great souls, previous acharyas, spiritual master, the Vaishnavas in general, to be eagerly praying for their mercy. It's a core part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching. It's part of humility. But humility expresses itself in that manner. Independently, I can't, by my effort, accomplish reaching the goal of spiritual attainment. I certainly will make an endeavor, but that alone is not enough. And when we really try very earnestly, we'll have that very strong realization. Try chanting attentively and see what happens. Our effort is necessary, but it's not sufficient. We need mercy. So it's a disposition of heart. It's a humble service disposition of heart. My chanting or my whatever it is, my service, I'm dependent. Never independent. And in that dependent position, I require Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's mercy comes through the mercy of the devotees. That's how we receive Krishna's mercy. Little clue. Through the mercy of the devotees, one gets the mercy of Krishna. Very important clue. Anything else? Anything from the ladies' side? Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.